T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Let's do a show, shall we? 202, a very good Sunday morning to you, New York City. It's Mike Fliegelman here with you, Fleegs on the Fan. We'll get the monkey, the elephant out of the room right away. If it doesn't sound like Fleegs on the Fan, what you're used to, that's because my voice is in a little bit of tatters. But trust me, it's the same Mike Fliegelman. I'm here, ready to go for the next 4 hours, carrying you through till 6 a.m. here. Nick Theodoro, he's on the other side of the glass. He's silent assassin of WFAN, the great Nick Theodoro, doing the most underappreciated job in the business. Mike McCann, who you just heard, has your updates at the top of every hour. And we're taking your calls and texts at 877-337-6666 until Bob Salter comes in at 6, and then we get you set up for a Week 5 football Sunday here in New York. And that's where we'll start, because as I watch Nick Theodoro laughing his tail off on the other side of the glass, getting a full glimpse, you know, coming in early and telling Nick, my voice isn't great, we're not going to talk as much before the show as we usually do. He says, okay. And then as soon as I start talking on the air, he just rips into laughter. And I see it. And Nick, listen, we're going to have some fun with this. We're going to do what we have to do. It is what it is. I hope I sound clear enough. I mean, we're going to be talking sports, so people know the deal there. But just watching Nick laugh, and I'm glad that at least one person is entertained by this right now, because Nick looks like he's having the time of his life. But we will start with the football, because who would have thought a week ago, if I told you that the New York Giants and the New York Jets would be playing very significant, meaningful Week 5 football games? I mean, we all just assumed here in New York that after what we saw the first 3 weeks of the year, the Giants and the Jets were cooked. I was one of them. I mean, I never thought either team would have a great season to begin with, but after the way they looked the first 3 weeks, both embarrassing themselves in different ways, you thought the seasons were over. But the Giants, with their overtime win over the Saints, and the Jets, with their overtime win on the Titans, now both get ready for games on Sunday that can set them up to have meaningful seasons. And that's what you want, at least for a fan base that there's no Yankees in the playoffs, no Mets, and we will spend plenty of time on the Yankees and the Mets, like Ricky did, kind of giving you ideas on how you could fix the two of those teams. I know every fan has ideas. Fire this guy, fire that one, hire this one, hire that. I have my own. We'll get into them as the show goes on. But with the Giants today and the Jets will kick off in just 7.5 hours in London, the Giants are where we're going to start the focus, because they're the team to me that always had a shot at the playoffs. As exciting as the Jets can maybe be with a rookie quarterback, this season was about the New York Giants from a New York football standpoint. Could Daniel Jones make the leap in year 3? And can the Giants become a playoff team in a huge year for Dave Gettleman and a pretty big year for Joe Judge? It's only his second year as a coach, but you want to see them take that step forward after the promise they showed you, especially in the second half of the 2020 season. The first 3 weeks did not get off to a good start for the Giants. They threw away a game in Washington, maybe the wrong call on the offsides penalty at the end of the game on Lawrence on the field goal, but that's how things go in the NFL. Week 3, they gave away another game to the Falcons at home. 0-3, they're staring a trip to New Orleans in the face. And yeah, I was one of those people that thought the Giants were going to go into New Orleans, get crushed by a team playing their first game in the Superdome, all the emotion there, and a team that I just thought was better. And I still think the Saints, top to bottom of the roster, might be better. But credit the Giants for what they did last week, coming back and winning that game. An incredible job by the Giants, and an incredible job mostly by Daniel Jones. The Giants started out 0-3, not to the fault of their young quarterback. Daniel Jones has been money in the last few games. And when he hasn't been great and elevating the play of everybody around him, he's at least been good and hasn't been hurting anybody around him or hurting the team with turnovers or hurting the team with mistakes, which for Daniel Jones had been a problem his first 2 years in the league. So I consider that progress, and I consider that part of what I had to see from Daniel Jones in this third year. Now they're set up for a pivotal matchup on Sunday against the Cowboys. The Giants are a touchdown and a half underdog. Listen, the Cowboys are a much better team. Troy Aikman said it earlier in the week. We'll get into his comments later specifically and why, if you're a Giant fan, as much as you might want to be offended, you probably shouldn't be able to be offended based on the recent history. But this is a chance for the Giants. If they can go into Jerry World and get a win and move to 2-3 and be sitting there right behind the Cowboys and have a game in hand already on them, then that team's going to have a season. That team in a division that is still wide open. Yeah, the Cowboys are the best team. They're the most talented team. Washington, the defense, not as good as I or pretty much anybody else expected. It's really been their offense and Tyler Heinicke that's been better. But if the Giants can get this win and they can start to catch up to the Cowboys an inch closer at 2-3, especially in a 17-game season versus the 16, if you're a Giants fan, you're going to believe, as daunting as the schedule is with the game the next week against the Rams and the Bucs on the schedule and the Chiefs and all those tough teams, if they can beat a Cowboys team that is better than them on paper, if they can go in and do enough to shut down Dak and shut down Ezekiel Elliott and shut down that explosive offense, the Giants should put up points in this game. They should be able to score against the Cowboys defense that I know has played really well to start the season. I still don't know how much I buy into it as an overall unit. I can see them slipping as the year goes on. But the Giants have a chance to establish themselves as a team that is at the very minimum a contender for a wild card in the NFC. And after where they started and where they were after that week 3 loss to the Falcons, I think if you're a Giant fan, if I told you a couple weeks ago, hey, you'll be 2-3, a game behind the Cowboys, and have the first game in the head-to-head against them, what Giant fan isn't signing for that? And on the whole, again, what Giant fan isn't signing for the kind of play you got from Daniel Jones in the first 4 weeks of the season, especially the last three? If Daniel Jones can ride that momentum, Saquon Barkley still doesn't look like the old Saquon Barkley, but he looks like he's getting closer and closer. You're seeing more burst. You're seeing the Giants and Jason Garrett finally maybe use him in more ways that are advantageous to his skill set. The Giants aren't great at running the ball. Get Saquon Barkley the ball in space. The wheel route, that's something Saquon did in college all the time when he was in Penn State. Trace McSorley would hit him on that wheel route all the time. The Giants did it the other day against the Saints. Huge gain, touchdown. Those are the kind of plays you need to use to take advantage of the player you have in Saquon Barkley. Even with Slayton and Shepard out, Kadarius Toney in week 4 had that breakout game and got involved in the offense in the ways that you would love to see. And he's going to be an X factor for the Giants in this game because Diggs is probably going to be shadowing Kenny Golladay. He might take Golladay out of the game. And whether Diggs is on Golladay or he's on Toney, wherever he is, I would give it the Revis treatment or whatever treatment you want to call it. If you're the Giants, if you're Daniel Jones, you identify Diggs before the snap and you don't throw there. If he's on the right side of the field, you're looking to your left. Don't risk it against a player who's been that dominant early in the season. It's not worth it. I think the Giants have enough weapons to spread the ball around that whoever Diggs is taking out of the game, you don't have to worry about. Establish a run game, establish Saquon Barkley, quick passes. If Jason Garrett, maybe more than even Daniel Jones or Saquon Barkley, Jason Garrett to me had been the most disappointing Giant in the first few weeks of the season just because it did not seem like he could figure out how to get his offense going, even with his quarterback playing well, even with Daniel Jones giving you mistake-free football. If Jason Garrett can build on what he did last week, I think the Giants are a live dog in this game. I'm not coming on the air and saying the Giants are going to win this game, but I think they will absolutely be in it, one score in the fourth quarter with a chance to win. I think these teams are pretty close overall, and I just have a feeling that the Cowboys are going to play down to the Giants in this game. I don't know why, or the Giants will play up and ride the wave of momentum after the win against the Saints. The Giants, I think, believe in themselves. Joe Judge is a confident head coach. He's a flawed head coach. He had some weird comments the last couple of weeks, talking about analytics and talking about results. He said some weird things lately, Joe Judge. But he's a confident coach. He believes in his guys. And I think he's going to have his team believing in themselves. So I think the Giants are going to be right there in this game against the Cowboys. Again, I'm not saying they're going to win it, but I think it's a one-score game in the fourth quarter. And honestly, after where the Giants were 2 weeks ago, around 4:15 or 4:30, after that game against the Falcons ended, and I told you that as a Giants fan, listen, you could sign for even in a close game against the Cowboys with a chance to be one game behind them. I think Giants fans would have signed up for that. I think that's the state of New York football. It was so poor after 3 weeks that Jets and Giants fans right now are receiving crumbs and are thankful for them. And that brings us to the other team, the New York Jets, who are kicking off in just over 7 hours in London against the Falcons. No Calvin Ridley for the Falcons. No Russell Gage for the Falcons. Setting up for the Jets a little bit like last week's game against the Titans did when they didn't have their top two wide receivers. And what I'm most interested to see for the Jets in this game is not even the rookie quarterback. It relates to the rookie quarterback, but it's something that stems down overall from the head coach. Something the Jets have done year after year after year, and especially in the Todd Bowles era, was after a big win, they'd spend the week patting themselves on the back, and then they would come in the next Sunday and lay a complete egg. The Jets cannot do that here. And that's, if you're a Jet fan, I think the fear where you're worrying that the Jets have been riding high on the emotions after a very shocking win against the Titans. The defense played great. They had the 7 sacks against Ryan Tannehill. If they go into this game against the Falcons and think they're better than they are, the Falcons will knock them down a peg. The Falcons are not a great football team. The Jets could, and I can even argue should, win this football game. The Jets, I think, when you take away Calvin Ridley and Russell Gage and the Jets getting some guys back, Jamison Crowder came back last week. Now Elijah Moore is back. So you have the wide receivers the way the Jets intended them to be, fully intact for the first time all season. If the Jets can get anything going in the run game, I think their defense should contain the Falcons. Maybe you don't get the same 7 sacks that you did last week, but I think they should have constant pressure. I don't know how the Falcons are going to be able to attack the Jets vertically. Maybe Kyle Pitts gets really involved, but there's no-name Jets secondary and linebackers. They've been playing great. They've been great in coverage. The young guys have given you everything that you could have hoped for and more if you're a fan of the New York Jets. And then the defensive line, we expected it to be good when the Jets signed Carl Lawson and brought in Robert Saleh and kind of overhauled this defense and the way they do things. When they lost Carl Lawson in training camp, you thought that would really maybe take a hit on the defensive line. And what you saw from week four with John Franklin Myers, and good on him and good on Joe Douglas giving him the contract extension that he deserves. It's nice to see the Jets finally rewarding their young players and starting to put the building blocks in place for a team that wants to grow in the next couple of years. That defensive line without Carl Lawson had 7 sacks last week. I mean, imagine what it would have been with Carl Lawson. The Jets defensive line is already, and yeah, it's just been one game, but you saw glimpses of it in the first three, and you hope it's something they can build on. That's the kind of defense you expected Robert Saleh to bring over from the San Francisco 49ers, where everybody's just playing at this high level. Somebody gets hurt, it's a superstar. Maybe you don't replace his production exactly, but you're still going to be a good unit that can get the job done. And that's what we've seen from the Jets so far. So I'm not going to say that Robert Saleh and his team are going to have the letdown game, but as somebody who's been watching the Jets my entire life and rooted for them, I'm nervous that it's on the table just because it's something that has been a staple of Jets coaches and Jets teams in the past. But if Robert Saleh proves different, that he's something else, and the Jets come out and they play a great game against the Falcons, they can maybe even lose a close game, but if they're in it and they show up and you see good plays from Zach Wilson, from the offense. Michael LaFleur wasn't great in week four against the Titans, but he was much better than he was in weeks 1, 2, and 3 calling plays. If the Jets can build, like the Giants, if they can build on what they did last week, I mean, if the Jets can get to 2 and 3, which is doable because of the opponent, after where they were after that Denver game 3 weeks ago, there's not a Jet fan in the world, even the most optimistic one, that would have said, yeah, after week 5, going into the bye, the Jets can be 2 and 3. But it's right there for them now. It's on the table. This is a winnable game. And who knows what the rest of the season holds. You know, I'm not going to say you're going to have that miracle season where the rookie carries you to 9 or 10 wins and a wild card berth. It doesn't even have to be that if you're the Jets. go in six, go in seven, go in maybe eight games and see this quarterback grow through the end of the year, get to like where he was. I mean, Zach Wilson in the second half last week, outside of a couple throws he missed that could have ended the game to Corey Davis and Ryan Griffin, that's the quarterback you wanted to see if you were a Jets fan. After a sluggish first half and the first few weeks, which were not good, that Zach Wilson performance gave every Jets fan hope and reason to believe that they might actually have their quarterback. For the Giants, said it earlier, Daniel Jones, the first couple weeks of this season, has given Giants fans reason to believe that they might have their quarterback. And even if the Giants aren't competing for a division title, even if they don't make the playoffs, if you get 15 to 16 games like the last few from Daniel Jones, you feel really good about your quarterback moving forward. That now, because these teams won last week, to me, is the bare minimum. That you can't accept anything less than that is feeling good about these quarterbacks and the future direction of these teams, at least more so the Jets than the Giants, because if the Giants don't miss the playoffs, you got to do something about the GM, Dave Gettleman. Never been a fan, never will be. Reminds me of Sandy Alderson, who we'll get to later when we talk about the Mets and the Yankees. But that's the bare minimum. The positive side, the bright side, if you want to feel hopeful on this Sunday morning, with 7+ hours to go before the Jets start and 14 before the Giants kick off against the Cowboys, is why not your team being the surprise team that wins more games than it should? That's the NFL. It happens all the time. You can win 9-10 games and not be looked at as that great as a football team. But Parcells said it. Jets fans know it. Giants fans know it. You are where your record says you are. Right now, the Jets and Giants, not to get too carried away, I know, I understand, they're both 1-3. But they both have a chance to move to 2-3 today. And after where they were a week ago, before their week four matchups, any Giant fan, any Jet fan would have been thrilled if I told them that they'd be in the position this morning that they're in. We'll get more into the Giants and the Jets in your calls and your texts, 877-337-6666. A ton on the Mets and the Yankees and their offseason plans. We can talk about a wild day in college football that beat me up a little bit. If you know, I'm a Penn Stater. They lost a really tough game. Alabama goes down. Number one goes down. Wild game. The Red River game. How about that noon slate between Oklahoma, Texas, then the Ole Miss and Arkansas game? We could talk about all those. I was locked into that all day. And on the other screens, yeah, I was locked into the MLB playoffs. Both of those series tied up at one. You have three of the four LDS series knotted at a game apiece. Sets up for a great Sunday and then Monday of baseball. And then a great week. I mean, tomorrow or later today, this Sunday, with the NFL Week 5, couple baseball games, and Monday with 3-4 baseball games. This is what we live for as sports fans. This is the time where you want to be a sports fan. You want to be someone like me who has 2-3 TVs set up. You can get at the iPad. You can get at the laptop. I want to watch it all. I did watch it all today. You might think me losing my voice is because of screaming at the TV. No, amazingly, it wasn't. You might not believe that, but shockingly, I don't think that was it. Maybe I'm wrong, though. Who knows? It's Sports Talk Radio. We're wrong all the time, but I'm not wrong on this. We're going to have a fun show today for the next 3 hours and 41 minutes. We're ready to roll here on The Fan, 877-337-6666. Your call's coming up next. It's Fleegs on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.